Welcome to the doubled up podcast.
Welcome to the doubled up podcast. Let's go.
Welcome to the Doubled Up Podcast, the weekly podcast talking all things trainers, sneakers, kicks, creps, whatever you call them, wherever you are in the world. I'm Matt, and with me, as he is every single week, is Scott. Scott, how you doing, mate?
I'm very, very tired. It's been a long old week. It is. And yeah, I was in Birmingham yesterday. I was doing an event all day today. I had my power completely cut out in my house yesterday, so I had to get an emergency electrician out very late at night. For some reason my oven was turning off every socket in my house.
Oh, wow.
So trying to find an emergency electrician. And when you ring an emergency electrician, that literally says on the website, "We always pick up the phone," and then they don't pick up the fucking phone, it's not very helpful. So, three times I rang that person. I was adamant they would pick up eventually. Clearly not. It's just long. It's just a long week. It's just one of them. But it's Friday. It's Friday. And I've gone old school. I've got beer with a proper mug handle.
You've got like a proper, almost like stein of beer
Yeah.
there
It's
for
got
the listeners that can't see this.
ale in it as well. I mean, I've gone proper. Yeah.
Jesus.
It's Verity's granddad gave me it as a secret Santa present. It wasn't very secret
Classic.
Santa because he was very adamant, as a 90-year-old man, that you only drink beer out of a mug with a handle and you drink proper beer. He is one of those people that if you walk into a pub and you kind of say, "Oh, can I have a beer?" and he will be like, "But I need a handle." And yeah, this is where the bar staff reach up to the top shelf where they've got some stored away for the old people that are determined to have one.
Wow, that sounds like a little bit of a character. I mean, the fact that you're drinking ale out of a stein, I don't know whether to call you Scott or like some Lord of the Rings character or something like that, but
I've got some Lord of the Rings mugs downstairs, to be
you
fair.
actually.
When I went to New Zealand, we went to the set, we
Of
went to Hobbiton,
course, of
and
course.
because there was a little bit that was, so they were building a actual Hobbit house that you could like go into, because all of them are kind of just like the frontages, they're not like proper go into, but they were building one as we were there. And because it didn't look very pretty, were the words of the tour guide, because there was scaffolding and stuff, they were giving away like free Green Dragon like mugs and stuff.
That's cool.
So the Green Dragon was a proper working pub though, and the beer in there was very, very good.
Hey.
I've got some downstairs actually.
Maybe because it was did it have a was it out of a stein with a handle?
It was.
In that case, that's probably why it tastes so good. If it's in a handle, like I said,
Must be.
if it's a cup of a handle makes it
There
taste better.
are a lot of people out there that want the handle though. I remember when I worked in a pub, you had very specific people that would come in and be like, "I will only have a mug with a handle." And if you didn't have one, they wouldn't drink. They'd just go out.
Fucking weirdos.
Yeah.
Sorry for insulting your family like that, but that is a bit weird, isn't it? Like if you care that much about beer that you have to have a handle. I mean, listeners aren't going to see this, but you're not even using the bloody handle. You're holding like a normal glass and sipping it normally. What's the point of having a bloody handle if you're not going to use the bloody handle,
Oh,
Scott?
I know. I know.
Oh,
Yeah.
good. Well, I've had a great week. Thanks for asking, pal, because I turned 30 this week. I'm
Oh.
officially old. Yep.
Oh, have you had a meltdown?
No, I had a great time.
No, fair enough.
So my week consisted of I went to a gig. My birthday was Thursday the 15th of Feb. So on Wednesday night, I went to a gig. Almost had a meltdown about the gig, but it was nothing to do with my birthday related. So I went to see Joy Anonymous at Camden. If anyone knows Joy Anonymous, he's very good friends with Fred Again. So if you imagine sort of a Fred Again-esque sort of housey type dance sort of music, it was a lot of fun. And so that was sort of kicking off the birthday celebrations, and I got sang off the tube by all my friends shouting at the top of their voice on a busy London tube on a Wednesday night, singing me happy birthday, which made me very, very happy and also slightly embarrassed because being from London, you know that when you're on a tube, you sort of stay quiet and keep to yourself. And the idea that on a very, very busy, quiet tube, a bunch of drunk people singing me off happy birthday, as I said, really, really appreciated it. But at the same time, there was a little part of me that was like, keep walking, keep walking, keep walking, keep walking, don't look back, don't look back. So that was fun. And then, yeah, Thursday was my birthday and had a really, really nice day. It was a complete surprise for me what we were doing. I deliberately kept it that way. And because Hannah did give me the option, I spent the day with Hannah and she did say, look, I can tell you what we're doing or we can keep it as a surprise. First thing we did in the morning, I was told that I wasn't allowed to eat breakfast because the first thing we were doing was food related and it was going to be a lot of food. And we went to a place called Jack and Beyond, which is a little cafe in Clapham that do the infamous all you can eat cake. For anyone that has watched Beard Meets Food, he ate 20 slices of cake on his YouTube video. So maybe go and watch that YouTube video and then you can sort of experience what I experienced.
I'd need to ask many questions about this
Yeah.
because is it, do you have like a time frame?
Yeah, 2 hours.
You've got 2 hours to eat what, just as much cake as you can.
Yeah, so the way it basically worked is they give you a menu and they have some standard cakes that are on the menu. So you've got a Victoria sponge, you have
Classic.
a classic Victoria sponge, you've got a vegan chocolate peanut butter and banana cake.
Oh,
There
but that's
is
dense.
a it was so dense. There is a baked cheesecake on there.
Oh,
You've also got a lemon and elderflower cake.
nice. Love a
You've
lemon cake.
also got a carrot cake.
Oh, I love carrot cake.
And a seasonal cake, which for us was matcha cake.
Matcha
And
and everything at the
it was
moment.
really nice, though, really nice. So basically what happens is you get there, they explain, they give you the menu, they explain what sort of happens, and they bring you out a sharing plate, which is essentially one of every slice. And the whole idea is that you work your way through the sharing slices. And then you can sort of to give you a taste of all the cakes, and then you can just basically ask for as many additional slices as you want. So you can have it with
Damn.
just you can have it with just the cakes, or you can have unlimited cake and drinks, which is what we had. So basically unlimited like specialty coffees, teas, whatever you fancy. And yeah, that's basically how it works. They bring you this really nice sort of slate board that has the six or seven slices of cake on there. You work your way through those. And then after that, you just say whatever else you want on top of that. Now, as I said, I watched the Beard Meets Food episode. And that's what made me, for months, I've been saying to Hannah that I really wanted to go to this place. And I had it in my head, because I'm quite a big eater, that if he can do 20, I reckon I can do a minimum of 10 slices. Oh, how I was wrong.
It, this depends on what cake you're picking, though, doesn't it?
Unbelievably wrong. So we just went through and we sort of did it in order of what they were laid out. So we started on the left-hand side of the board and worked our way to the right. So we started things off with red velvet. I forgot there's red velvet on there as well. There's seven
Oof.
slices to start with. So we started with red velvet, beautiful, really light, loved it. Demolished that within seconds. We then moved on to the Victoria sponge. Surprisingly, Victoria sponge, really dense, but had some really, really nice jam in there. We then moved on to, I think, carrot cake. Beautiful. Now, at this point, Scott, we're three slices in. So by the time you split the slices in half, you're technically what, like one and a half slices of cake in. And I start feeling my stomach rumble a little bit. And I think, oh, fuck, this is bad. We then move on to the cheesecake. By the time we get, I would say 4 to 5 slices into our seven slice starting platter, I physically felt drunk. Like, I honestly, there was so
Drunk
much
on cake.
sugar, there was so much sugar going through my body that one of the waitresses came up to us and went, "How's the cake going?" And I looked at her and she was blurry. Like, I honestly, I felt drunk. And it was a bad experience. It was incredible, but it was also a bad experience. There were multiple times where me and Hannah looked at each other and we were like, we are not okay. And
Oh
then of
dear.
course you would get a second wind because you would sort of give yourself a 15-minute breather and you'd have a few more bites of cake, and very, very quickly that feeling would come back. So very, very, very quickly, I realized that 10 slices, which was my aim going in there, was nowhere near happening. So I did sort of, it was just us in there at one stage. I did sort of start speaking to the people working there and said, like, look, on average, what do people eat? Like, how many slices for me to not be a failure? And they were like, most people go through the sharing platter, like between two people, and they order one more slice on top, which is what me and Hannah did in the end. We did go through the whole thing, and I ordered one more slice of cheesecake on top, but it was a lot. It was a lot. So yeah, we had about sort of four slices of cake each. But I would definitely do it again. I would definitely do it again. But I would, yeah, it's something that I think everyone should experience if they get the opportunity to. If you come to London and you want something to do, I would definitely say go, because it is some of the best carrot cake I've ever had in my life, best cheesecake I've ever had in my life. So, like, the whole time you're thinking, I want to eat more because this is so tasty, but at the same time, my body physically can't take any more in.
Oh, this is speaking my language. I love
Ne
cake. I love
next
carrot
time you
cake.
come, next time you come, we'll do it.
Maybe,
We'll do it.
maybe. Yeah, I mean, that's something. The thing is, there is method to this madness, because
100%.
there is a combination of ingredients in those cakes that they're like, nah, no one's getting past this, really.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like I said, there is one cake on that list that I would almost be going, all right, let's shimmy that one along, please, because I'm making room for the others. Like, there are some much lighter cakes in there and some much heavier, denser cakes in there. And yeah, if you wanted to hit numbers, then yeah, it's like when you do bottomless brunch. We had this. There's a place near us that, instead of doing bottomless brunch, you would do, like, it was like bottomless dinner almost. Like, you got a meal, but then you had, I think it was like an hour and a half, to drink as many drinks as you could. Fair enough. You had a choice of, there was beer. It was like Peroni. There was Prosecco. There was a Sex on the Beach cocktail. Aperol Spritz, your favorite, was on there as well.
Love a bit of Aperol
Now,
Spritz.
they were looking at me. It was me, and at the time, I was still teaching, so it was all women there. And they were like, "Right, well, Scott's gonna have a beer," and I was there like, "No, I'm not. Why?" Because I'm going for numbers. I'm not going for volume here. I'm going for numbers. So it was literally, they bring it over, the first drink, they brought over a Prosecco. Bang, right, I'll have the next one, please. And they were looking at me like, what? And I'm there like, no. Again, I'm getting the most for
Tactics.
my money here. If I go beer, I'm only having a couple of pints. That's not worth it. I want as many Sex on the Beaches and as many Proseccos as humanly possible in this time.
I
And that's the
did.
same with the cake. Like,
You're absolutely right. It got to the point where, in my head, when I very quickly realized, because it's not cheap, like, I've looked at this before, and for the 2 hours unlimited cake, unlimited drinks, I think it's about £28 a head. So it does work out like it's quite expensive. It's about £25, £28 a head. But when you look at the individual cake's price, if you were to go in and eat a slice of cake, they're about £5 to £5.25 a slice. So in my head, I was like, right, that then means that we have to eat X amount of slices of cake plus X amount of drinks. And I worked out that basically we would make our money back if we ate three to four slices of cakes each and had X amount of drinks. So I think when I was there during the 2 hours, I had like two double espressos, a green tea, two normal teas. Hannah had like a chai latte, a couple of teas as well, another coffee. I also had a coffee to take away at the end. So, like, you make it up with the drinks more than anything, because when you think a coffee is like £3 to £4 a coffee, then that's where
Again,
you sort of
this
make
is
up,
it.
that's where you make up the extra. Because I was thinking to myself, if I was strictly doing this on cake, you have to eat about six slices of cake for it to be worth it.
But this is the thing again, like, you're going for drinks, and you got to pick your drinks strategically, because if you're going to go, like, big long milky drinks,
You
that's
can
going to
get
fill up your volume. Like,
lattes. There was hot chocolates on there. You can get like white chocolate hot chocolates on the menu. Hannah was like, oh, that sounds really nice. Nope, I said to her, there's no way that I'm eating all this cake and a white chocolate hot chocolate. No way in hell. That's why halfway through I was like, I'm gonna have a green tea, because it's gonna give me a bit of caffeine to perk me up, but it's
Get them
also
espressos
basically
in.
just straight water. So yeah, it was amazing. And as I said, anyone that's sort of like seen that video and they are coming to London and thinking, shall I do this? 1,000%. The people that work there, so friendly. They were sort of explaining to us that it was never invented as like this challenge, but Beard Meets Food has turned it into this now infamous challenge. It started out because everyone that works there loves cakes, and they hated the idea of going to a cake shop and limiting themselves to buying one cake. So the whole idea is that you and a couple of friends go there, you all pay this price, and you can try as many cakes as you want on the menu. That's what it was sort of created as. And obviously, after the Beard Meets Food episodes, it's then turned into this sort of like unlimited cake for 2 hours food challenge. But that wasn't obviously the intention of it. So as far as sort of me going in there with a mindset of I'm eating 10 slices of cake, failed. As far as what it was designed for, I tried seven amazing cakes. I had a great time. I had, like I said, the best carrot cake and cheesecake I've ever had in my life. It was a great start to the day. Then we sort of like hang around London a little bit. We went on the cable car, did a bit of shopping, blah, blah, blah. And then we went to this amazing Italian restaurant in the evening.
Wait, did you say cable car?
Yeah, went to the cable car.
What cable car? In
There's
London?
there's like a cable car in near the XL Arena that sort of like takes you across the Thames.
Yeah, I
It's
think I've seen
basically
that.
it's sort of like the Uber boat type thing where it's sort of like a little novelty sort of travel thing. But so we did that. That was really cool. Never done it before, and it was just again we were just things to do out. Did a bit of shopping. Went to the outlets. Did some shopping in central London. Really, really nice day. And then yeah, in the evening we went to this Italian restaurant in Chiswick called Napoli on the Road, and absolutely incredible pizza. It's run by a guy, a chef that's supposed to be nominated as like best pizza chef, maybe even in the world or potentially at least in the UK. But yeah, one of the best pizzas I've ever had in my life. Proper sort of like Napa, like Italian style pizza, not like obviously a Papa John's Domino's type pizza. And we
I
had
was about to
this.
say, puts my dominoes to shame that I had of the weekend though.
Yeah, we had this starter that was like a fried dough, but with like really nice homemade tomato sauce on top and mozzarella. And it's one of the best starters I've ever had in my life. It was incredible. And it smelt and looks like a carnival food. I was saying to Hannah, if you had this at a festival, you would be in heaven. Like they could have quite easily just had a festival stand just serving this starter and you would have been loving life. Because it wasn't like pizza bread, it was like a fried dough and it smelt like fried dough, but with this sort of really nice tomato sauce on the top and the mozzarella cheese, bit of basil. Fantastic. So yeah, we've gone on a little bit of a rant and a tangent here, but yeah, that was my week. And to bring it back sneaker related, Scott, we've got a latest pickup for you to talk about in a minute, but I was very, very taken back this morning when I went back into work and opened my emails that my work colleagues has completely pulled one over me and got me a £100 Offspring voucher, which I was incredibly like touched
Smash
by.
that one, yeah.
Honestly, one of my colleagues the other day messaged me like, "Oh, it's my brother's birthday coming up, and this particular colleague is buying a house." And she said to me, "It's my brother's birthday coming up. I'm buying a house. This is probably going to be the last year in a little while that I'm going to be able to buy him a decent present. I want to buy him a pair of trainers. Like, where would you buy them from?" And I was like, "Well, what kind of stuff does he like?" And she was like, "Well, same kind of stuff that you like, probably. Like, he has a similar kind of style to you." So he was like, "Where would I look for that?" And I was like, "Well, obviously, like the shops that I probably shop the most at, you go to Offspring, you go to End, you go to Size, you go to Foot Patrol, you might go to Dover Street Market." She was like, "Are these even shops? Like, are these places that?" And I was like, "Trust me, like, you're going to find stuff there that isn't in your office and your JD, etc." She went, "Okay, cool, no problem at all." Obviously, completely just trying to work out where on earth to get me a voucher for. And yeah, a bunch of my colleagues all chipped in and got me a card and a little book that's like a how to adult book. And yeah, this morning had a £100 Offspring voucher come through my emails. So yeah, I will be buying some shoes in the near future, Scott, but I'm trying to work out what to spend it on. Part of me that has money in front of me to spend shoes makes me want to buy something instantly. And I had in my cart earlier the BSTN Sambas from the Consortium Cup, and
Yeah,
I
they are
almost
good.
bought those. But I'm also thinking next month's March, Air 180s are going to be coming back out. Do I save my £100 voucher
Oh,
to go
that's a
towards
good shout.
some 180s? That's Honestly, the mental battle I'm having right now to be like, do I buy the
I
Sambas?
mean,
Do I put it towards 180s? Oh, I don't
it's
know.
Offspring. The problem is, like, especially if this is allowed, like, if you could use this on raffles and stuff.
I think it's in store and online purchases only, so it won't be raffles, I can imagine.
Well, I mean, why? Your raffles, you buy them in store.
True, yeah. Didn't think of that.
I mean, if it's online and in store only, I mean, that's literally the only two options you have to buy things. So that's covers everything.
All right,
But
yeah, I didn't think of that.
I mean, to be fair, yeah, it does open up a lot of options, and there is a lot of different 180s coming out as well. It's not just those, like there are some
Ultramarines and the black
really
pair that
nice.
looks really nice. Like the again,
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe hold out for some ultramarine Air
The Sam
180s.
the Sambas are nice, but I think they're gonna hit the sale at some
Yeah.
point. And I think you're gonna be all right. I think, yeah, if you can use it on a pair of like 180s when you're a bit like, I ain't got much money, and you can be like, well, they're only gonna cost me like 40 quid.
I was going to
Done.
say, I don't know what I don't know what the retail is going to be. I have a funny feeling that the retail is probably going to be about £160 or
Yeah.
£140. So, yeah,
That's not
but
bad.
getting a pair of 180s for essentially 40 quid,
Yeah,
I'm
that's good.
swaying more towards that.
Your colleagues must really like you to get your £100 Offspring voucher. I mean,
I said thank you to them all, and
I don't think I'm gonna get that.
I said thank you to them all, and they did turn around and say, "Don't expect this every year. It's only because it's your 30th."
How
And
many people were there?
I think there's probably, to be fair, I work for quite a big company, and actually, in the grand scheme of things, not a lot of people chipped in, but
Yeah.
there must have been about sort of like 10, 15 of them that all chipped in. So even then, it's still
Interesting.
sort of 10 quid each. It was really, really nice of me. I didn't expect anything. I've never had a present from any colleagues on my birthdays, and I've been there for 5 years. So the fact that sort of this, I had the same colleague that organized all of this has a business. A second, like a side business where she makes brownies. So I had a six pack of brownies turn up at my door. As I said, I had a card, a book, and an
Oh, how
Offspring voucher.
nice.
So I was spoiled by work big time.
Wow. Yeah,
But
it sounds it.
yeah, it does mean in the near future, Scott, I will have some latest pickups to talk about. But that sort of segues me quite nicely into you actually have, this is 2 weeks in a row now that you have a pair of shoes to talk about. So
Yeah.
let's take the spotlight away from me for once and talk about some shoes that you've bought.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it could have been more. You were saying about your week. My week also consisted of me last weekend going to IKEA, the wonderful every day, which was a hellish experience. It was horrible. It was awful. It
It's because
was
you didn't get
wet
any Swedish
completely.
meatballs.
I got the hot dogs instead, so I didn't do the
Fair
meatballs. The
enough.
queue for the meatballs was awful. But yeah, it was interesting. And yeah, just lots of Brummies kind of walking around going, I don't know where I'm going. Like, it was just that all the time. Like, it was carnage, absolute carnage. But there is a very nice outlet not too far, and they had a Saucony outlet, and there was some steals knocking around in there. So yeah, there was almost another pickup, because Verity was very much trying to encourage me to buy the pink mock Saucony Shadow 6000s, which were
They've been a steal of the week in previous weeks.
30 quid they were knocking around at, and
Bargain.
they were doing an extra 20% on some pairs. If it had been on that pair, yeah, would have been there. But yeah, there was lots of very good outlets there, but they didn't tempt me enough. And I was also aware that I had a pair on the way, which I wasn't, to be fair, at one point I was 100% sure what was going to happen with them. But I did manage to pick up the Year of the Dragon Saucony Grid Shadow 2, which there's a weird, this shoe is odd in terms of its release, because originally this shoe wasn't going to release. It was just, I've designed this shoe. There's a guy on Instagram, I think it's Kodo War. He's one of the head designers at Saucony. He put some sketches up of this shoe and said, this is the shoe. I love it. I don't know if it's going to release, but here are some draft images. You know, here you go. And then all of a sudden, they started appearing in random stores across Europe, and they were random stores. So I actually got my pair from BSTN, in Germany, because that's where there was, and I managed to get student discount on them, and it reduced them down by like 20% or something. So I did all right, but Originally, it was like they're releasing, and it's like, oh, cool, they're releasing in Europe, but I wouldn't expect them anywhere else. Then they appeared on Saucony, UK and EU, so they are available online now. And then apparently they might be releasing in the US as well, so they might actually be getting a wider release,
Yeah, 8th of
which is cool.
Feb, 8th of Feb, Saucony Originals
Which.
underscore EU, meaning they've obviously changed their Instagram handle to have the underscore EU included because it used to just be the Saucony's original account. But on the 8th of February, they put a reel up saying the Grid Shadow 2 Dragon Decades of Distinction, a hero born in 97 and reimagined in 2024 to celebrate the China's Year of the Dragon, available now on in the EU on Saucony.com and at selected retailers, and it says coming soon to the US. So it will be having a wider release, but that was only posted, what, not even 10 days ago.
So this is the thing. So the box has two images on it. It has a dragon, i.e. Year of the Dragon, and then there is a lovely phoenix, which was apparently, it was a two-part pack, and the second pair was a Shadow 6000 phoenix pair, which again, they're definitely 100% not getting a release. That's what the information is. Again, I could be wrong, but from the head designer, he's saying that shoe is not happening, full stop. But so it comes with a special box. It's a GR and it's getting a special box. It
We've seen
also
that with
comes
Saucony a
with,
lot recently, though,
are
haven't
they?
we? Where
Yeah.
they go above and beyond for their special pairs.
They really do. It comes with lovely paper with kind of the, it's almost like the fish scale pattern, which is very nice touch. And then you have the shoes themselves, which, I mean, I said this before when I had the J Tips, Saucony, the Shadows, Grid 2s. I'm not sure about the model. However, I've got another pair and I quite like them.
I knew
But
this was going to happen. When you said you weren't that sold on the silhouette, I thought you're high because that shoe is so up your street. I don't know how you were saying
it's
you didn't like that silhouette.
it I think with some of the GRs that they've done where it's just like white with a color along the
White and
mud
black,
guard,
white and green,
it
white and
looks
blue.
a bit weird. Even though I have seen another one which is kind of similar but slightly different, and it looks really, really good. But this shoe, I quite like the I love like Japanese and Chinese like tattoo and kind of graphic design and stuff like that. Like I think it looks amazing. And when I saw the details on the shoe, I was like, let's have a look. So the shoe itself is, like I say, the Shadow 2. It's got the mudguard is very odd. It's a very odd shape, but on this pair, it's literally got like embossed dragon scales all the way along it, which is incredible. The browns, a mix of suedes, leathers, kind of the Saucony logo in kind of plastic. Again, it's the same on the other one where it's almost overlaid and it kind of looks almost kind of like dragon scales anyway. On the back, literally like faux snake skin, multicolored dragon, and then the tongue. Gold foil tongue with the koi carp kind of fish scale on it, with the leather tab with the dragon symbol on it, with 2024 on the inside. I've got to say though, the materials on this are insane. I don't. This is suede. It is a form of suede, but my God, it is the most plush suede I have ever felt in my life. Like I showed it to Verity, and she was there, like touching it. And she was like, "Is this leather? Is this suede?" She was there, like, "It's too soft." I was like, "It is literally like incredibly plush." Like I've had a, we've got some incredibly high quality shoes knocking around, and I'm not saying that softness equates to quality, but this shoe is ridiculously comfortable. It is more comfortable than the J Tips pair. But it is like this material is just so ridiculously soft. It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. Again, it's a bit of a cheat code because it's mixtures of browns, burgundies, and sail on a shoe. And it's very, very wearable. The gold does kind of give it a nice little glint when you're wearing it. But if you are wearing it like me, where I wear it was like baggy cargo trousers, kind of sits over the top anyway. But yeah, it's a lovely, lovely shoe. And quality wise, it is just, like I say, it's essentially a GR. And it's just, this is the one thing you said it earlier, like with Saucony, they really do go above and beyond with just their simple standard pairs. Let alone when you see pairs like, I don't know, for example, the Bodega Shadow 2, this obviously just the materials on that look crazy good. Shame that pair's literally being limited to Bodega. That's kind of annoying,
I'm
but
going for that pair though. That like every single week, we've been saying for weeks now that this year's slow. And granted, we are now speeding up
it's picking up a
and
bit.
it's picking up a little bit. And obviously, I was just talking there about the fact that like the Air 180s are going to be coming soon for Air Max Day and things like this. And we've recently had Bred Jordan 4s, which were one of the sort of most anticipated releases of this year so far. We are now starting to see big shoes coming up. But as soon as I saw the pictures and videos of that Bodega Grid Shadow 2 with the materials on that, 1,000%. I don't care if I have to buy that shoe from the States, from Bodega, given that the Grid Shadow 2 retails at roughly about 130 odd quid. I think it will just about scrape inside the customs. And also with that, even if you do pay a little bit of customs, I can imagine it's a shoe that, given all of the recent grid shadows and things like this, resale's been quite high. So I want to be in for that shoe. That's the
Looks
only
incredible.
shoe that is one of the only shoes so far that I've seen rumored to come out that I'm like, that's excited me. And after last year, a lot of the shoes that came out that excited me, I didn't get an opportunity to buy. Thinking of things like the Action Bronson New Balance, thinking of things like the Kith A6, thinking of things like I can't think of another one, like the Kith Sambas, the Kith Clark Sambas, like all of these shoes that were almost too expensive for me to buy last year, that for me were in my top five. That Bodega is the That Bodega so far is the one of the only shoes that I know is releasing this year that I will firmly say is going to be in my top five.
It's incredible. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, or other than the really basic iterations of this model, I've looked at them and gone, they all look incredible. You've got the Marsh pair, you've had this, obviously you've got both J-Tips pairs, you've got the Bodega pairs. There's just been so many that you look at and you go, like, there's just been images. Apparently, there's up on, think there's a St. Paddy's Day pair that has just
They
gone
do look
up.
a bit mad.
They're mad, but the black and the green, like, it works. I'm looking at, I mean, I think the Clover logo is a bit big on the tongue, but I was looking at that and going, that's not bad. Like, that's actually pretty good. They've just Saucony for the price that you pay for them and the amount of effort and detail they go into on GRs. Yeah, and like I said, the quality of them is exceptional.
Yeah,
Like the
when
quality on this GR is better than a lot of the collabs I've got sat behind me.
You sent the pictures through, because I had no idea that you were buying that shoe. I knew that you'd liked it because when it was sort of rumored to come out, you sent through a couple of pictures and you said, if this pair gets a release, I want it. And I wasn't that sold on the original pictures that I saw on like Saucony Sneaks, the Instagram page. Like, I thought, yeah, it's a nice looking pair, but I'm not that sold on it. And then when you bought them, and you sent through a video on our group chat of you showing how good the suede is on the toe. One of the things I noticed from the video you sent through is that the shoe is a bit more purple than I anticipated. When you look at all of the pictures, it looks sort of a bit maroony and a bit brown. And I thought, yeah, okay, like it's nice. It's a brown shoe. We've already said brown shoes with cream is a bit of a cheat code. But in my eyes, I was thinking, it doesn't look any better than the espresso pair that we were saying about previously. I thought it looked similar to that.
Very different browns,
When
very different browns.
you sent through the video and I saw how purple it is, I thought, okay, now I'm interested. And yeah, I'm happy you've picked up a pair, because I know you sort of were showing interest in it from the moment we saw initial images, and especially where you've clearly spoken to the designer and they weren't sure whether it was coming out. That's a really cool story for a shoe to have. So big, big pickup. And we it seems to be that we thought the Saucony train was sort of picking up last year. It seems like it's sort of going full speed ahead this year with some more really, really big shoes seeming to be hitting the shelves.
There's been a lot of strong rumors from other brands, but at the moment, like actually product that's coming out. I mean, Bodega are not Bodega, Saucony. Just got Bodega on the brain now. Saucony are coming out swinging. We said it was slow, and Saucony are knocking out pairs left, right, and center that are really, really good, high quality, and cool designs. Like they are really good, and the price point's really good.
Yeah.
Like it's a, you go on Saucony at the moment, and I'm not going to lie. Basically, if you work in any industry, you get some form sorts of discount. Like genuinely, they're giving away discounts left, right, and center. So you can get like 10, 20% off on top of a shoe that's already like 130 quid. It brings it down to a very, very reasonable price.
Yeah.
And like I say, the quality of them rivals high quality New Balance. If you want a comparison, it is that. Is better quality than, like I say, majority of things that I have behind me. It is ridiculous, and it is a GR that I got 20% off on.
Well, Trinidad James said in the it was the Full Size Run episode, wasn't it? That New Balance get their New Balance buy a lot of their suedes from Saucony, which I thought was quite interesting. When we sort of put New Balance as the sort of peak of sort of suede and Nubuck materials, the fact that they're buying it from Saucony and Saucony are producing shoes like that, it only shows the quality is that as far as value, we always talk about value for money. Like you're always a big value for money person, Scott. Like obviously all of us want to
I
be
am.
value for money, but with shoes, it's trying to find the balance of quality, but not at such a high expense where you're spending £240 on a pair. I think right now, Saucony, and we've said this, I don't want to seem like a broken record because I feel like for weeks and weeks and weeks, all we're doing is talking about how much we love Saucony. So I do know that listeners will eventually get sick and tired of hearing us talk about Saucony, but it does seem like if you are in the market for something that is value for money, where you prioritize high quality but don't want to break the bank in obviously cost of living crisis and things like this, Saucony seems like a good little entry level at where you can find that sweet spot. Because let's be honest, Dunks and Sambas, like not great quality, but you're talking 100 or 90 to 120, decent price. Like if you want lots of, if you want different pairs of shoes and you like the idea of building a collection, looking at your sort of Sambas, Dunks, that's going to be your sort of lower end of the spectrum. But as we know, Dunks don't have great quality. And I don't want to go down that rabbit hole again because we say it all the time. They don't have that great quality. Sambas as well, they don't have that great quality realistically. Yeah, okay, they are a bit suede, and yeah, they are maybe a bit better than Dunks, but actually, in the grand scheme of things, they're not going to blow you away for 100 quid, and they shouldn't because they're
No.
100 quid. But again, you also don't want to go the other end of the spectrum, and a lot of people can't afford the 220, £240 990s these days because they've crept up from the 190. A lot of made in US, a lot of made in UK used to be 190 back in sort of 2019, 2020. Now, the average sort of 991, 992, or 990, I should say, sorry, £220 starting price. Like, it's a lot of money. So,
You go for a collab as well, like adds
240.
another 10, 10, 20 quid on top. And interestingly, when I was in London, like talking to people in stores, that talking to quite a few of the people in some of the smaller stores, you sat there kind of just chatting away as you're trying on a few pairs. And a lot of them were saying they weren't buying many Nikes and Jordans anymore, and they were wearing like Asics, they were wearing Saucony, they were wearing even Adidas and stuff, just because they were like the main reason that they all pinpointed was essentially value for money. The cost was going up massively, and actually they didn't think the shoes were good enough. And this is people working in the stores that see loads and loads and loads of products. So yeah, it is one of those where at the moment, it's hard to look past these smaller brands. I say smaller, they're obviously still big brands, but the more under the radar ones,
They're not the juggernauts.
I think a lot of people are kind of picking up on them though. And especially, I mean, like I say, with Saucony, J-Tips has obviously put them in the limelight a bit, which helps. But yeah, I'm very happy with that pair, and
Good.
I've basically worn them all week. They haven't come off my feet, even though the weather's been a bit hit and miss. But They're a lovely kind of darkish color, so they're actually not too bad.
Not
So
too
yeah.
bad. I promise listeners we won't just keep banging the drum of Saucony for weeks and weeks and weeks. We are the type of people that once we get something in our eyes that we really, really like, we are going to wave that flag until everyone's sick and tired of hearing us saying it. I mean, last year it was 580s, which not as many pairs have been coming out recently. This
No.
year seems to be all sort of towards the back end of last year and into this year. It's obviously waving the Saucony flag, and I promise we'll try and talk about other things. But I think talking about other things, we should probably move into our first main segment of the episode, and that is, of course, shoes rounds. Every single week, we spend a little bit of time looking back at some of the biggest headlines that have happened in the wonderful world of sneakers, give our thoughts and opinions. This week, it is me taking shoes rounds. So without further ado, I'll pass over to me for shoes rounds. Okay, Scotty boy, there's some big, big, big news stories that have happened this week with Nike sort of giving layoffs and things like this. But a lot of them, yes, they involve sneaker brands and things like this. But generally speaking, they are quite business orientated headlines. And I thought, seeing as you and I are not sort of people that are great with, we're not economists or anything like that, or we're not sort of like business analysts. It's sometimes a little bit difficult to give our thoughts and opinions on people having layoffs, other than layoffs equals bad news. So I thought we'd talk about something that's a little bit more lighthearted and also quite an interesting story in general. And that is that Kanye West has lowered the price of the Yeezy pods to just $20. Obviously, sort of 2022, I think it was now, saw Ye and Adidas part ways, right? I think it was late 2022, and obviously going into 2023, we sort of wondered what was going to happen between the Adidas and Kanye with obviously the brand split. We have seen multiple Yeezy days where Adidas have been selling sort of old Yeezy product, and one of the things that we saw last year was that Yeezy had decided to sort of go ahead with their own footwear products. And one of the first products that we saw was the Yeezy Pods, which, best way to describe it, is a knee-high sock. Is essentially the best way to describe the shoe. Everyone would have seen it because, again, it was going around social media. And originally, when the shoe released, which was I do believe late last year, it released, yeah, it officially released, I think, on the 28th of December 2023, on Yeezy.com for $200. Just a few months, a couple of months after the shoe release, Ye tweeted saying that they were dropping the shoe down to $20, and anyone that bought the shoe at $200 was receiving a $180 refund, which is a mad, mad sort of idea for a brand, right? Like, granted, I understand lowering prices and essentially putting shoes on the most mammoth sale ever, essentially giving sort of people that have bought the shoe a 90% sale, selling it for $20 when obviously it originally was $200. But to give those people that refund, madness. Overall, very, very interesting. I had never sort of kept up to date with this release to see how well it was. I can imagine the fact that they've dropped it down to $20 probably means that they didn't sell out. But it's just very, very interesting that Ye's sort of first big venture on his own has resulted in something like this. Now, I don't have much of an update. I'm looking at the Complex website now, and they've sort of just updated the original story and just selling after selling for $200 during the initial launch in December. West has confirmed that the Yeezy Pod sock sneaker is receiving a price reduction to only $20. On Instagram, the at Yeezy page also stated that anyone who paid $200 can email supply at yeezy.com for a $180 refund. And that's sort of the extent of what Complex has given us there. I know a lot of other sort of places haven't given us much more. Seems like it's a very sort of short, snappy story, so I don't really know the rhyme and reason why this has happened, but it's just very interesting. I don't think we've ever seen a shoe within 2 months have such a discount.
Honestly, when this shoe came out, I can you call it a shoe?
It's a sock sneaker, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, the one part of this is obviously you've got Gosha Rubinsky as the head designer of Yeezy that was announced, which in itself is a not probably a good move. You know, he's a very, very controversial designer with his background. We've spoken about that in previous episodes. And then they bring this out. So it's all just a massive storm of shit. And I mean, what they're literally, there's a really good video from Seth Fowler, who bought a pair at $200. Because obviously he does sneaker content. He was always going to buy them at that price. And they only come in three sizes. So you have to just kind of take a punt as to which size you're going to be. Because it's a sock, it kind of molds to your foot. The problem is, because of the things on the bottom to kind of walk on to give it the shoe padding, means that they don't fit to your foot like a sock. It's not like, you know, if you buy a 9 to 11 size sock and it kind of
It
stretches,
stretches.
because of the bits on the bottom, it doesn't. It just kind of, they just sit in the wrong place. So you can't really walk on them. Then apparently it's got like a really thin insole on, like in the interior of the shoe sock thing. It's a terrible design. They look awful. Like, it's not even like when you get the tabby kind of shoes, which are very thin, very kind of minimalistic and sleek. And obviously, but there is design to it and there is reason behind it. This is just, I want to wear my socks, but I probably need something on the bottom to make them a bit sturdier. I would love to know the logic behind this, why they made these in the first place, and then charging $200 for them. If anybody purchased these seriously, like actually, I think $200 is good value for money for this. You are either filthy, stinking rich, and fair play to you, or you need your head seen too, or both. Could be any of them, because it's just ridiculous. From what I did actually see, somebody put a tweet out and said, these aren't worth $200, these are worth 20. And then about a month later, they went back to it and said, well, clearly they listened to me, because obviously they've discounted them so much. I can only assume they've discounted them because that's all they're really worth. Like, I'm assuming the sales weren't as what they expected. And also, if they are selling them for $20, you've got to think, one, are they making a loss on these? Or two, do they only cost about $10 to make and they were just trying to rip everyone off?
Who knows? I mean, one of the big things is that this discount did come just 24 hours after Ye released his collab album with Ty Dolla $ign Vultures One, and maybe it was done as some sort of keep Ye's name a bit more of a buzz to it. Like, not only does he have an album coming out, but also this shoe has had a mass discount. Maybe it has something to do with that. I have looked, and just sort of while you were talking there, Scott, I had a little look on the Soul Retriever website, and they said that Ye actually, I don't follow him on Instagram, so I have no idea, but disclosed on an Instagram post that on the 12th of February, when this discount happened, they actually sold 266,000 pairs of the Yeezy Pods, totaling $5,320 in sales. So I don't know whether or not maybe people saw that heavily discounted price and thought $20 is nothing. Maybe I'll grab hold of a pair of these just in case they might be worth something later. Or maybe people just wanted, because this is really Ye's first big venture out since leaving Adidas, maybe people just wanted a little bit of a part of history. The thing is $200, like you said, people aren't willing to, people that, there might be people out there that are huge Kanye fans that wanted this piece of history, because even though it's a ridiculous shoe that you've just described, it is technically a piece of history, the first sort of shoe since parting from Adidas. Maybe people wanted that but didn't have the $200 to spend. In today's day and age,
Maybe.
$20, a lot of people can sort of see past
Oh,
that.
yeah.
If I cut back on a couple of Starbucks this month, then there's my $20 and I can get a pair of Yeezys. And
I'd
it's
pay
interesting.
$20 for a pair of these just to see what
Just
they
the,
were
yeah,
and to
just
take
the
the piss.
curiosity. Yeah.
Like for $20, whatever. But yeah, they are interesting. And I mean, I guess it's kind of works because as I'm pretty sure as it stands, Ye is now the biggest artist on Spotify currently, like of all time. It's between he's now overtaken Taylor Swift. He's back to the top. What a world we live in when it's a battle between Ye and Taylor Swift for number one artist in the world. Well,
Hey, well, I think on that note, that's the news. Okay, so moving on from Shoes Round, we're moving to our second segment of the episode, and that is, of course, Double Up, Double Down. Every single week, we look ahead at some of the upcoming releases for the following week. We pick a shoe that we like, a double up, a shoe that we dislike, a double down, and a sleeper pick, a shoe that's going to get a little bit lost amongst the hype. Now, Scotty Boy, you are taking the segment this week, so without further ado, I'll pass over to you for Double Up, Double Down.
Yes, over to me, and we have some maybe slightly left field picks for Double Up this week, but this is a shoe that one is kind of close to me, but also I do genuinely really like this shoe, and the Double Up for this week is the ASICS times Earl's Collection GT 2160, the Nawari as it's being called. So Earl's Collective kind of collection in the first instance was founded by a guy called Louis Brown, who was an ex a rugby league player in New Zealand, and has quite strong Maori links, kind of tribal people in New Zealand for those that don't know. And so this shoe has very strong links to Maori culture through his late father. So the shoe itself is it's a bit of an interesting model from ASICS. It's not one that kind of you see too much. We often see the same ones coming up, but I think actually I prefer this one to the others. But the shoe itself is kind of a mixture of browns, creams, and kind of different shades of green, kind of over. So the browns, it's a very kind of soft suede, kind of brush suede upper, kind of the overlays, the ASICS logo around the toe. And then the underlay is kind of a loose gauge cotton woven material, which is meant to represent the flax weaving that they use in Maori cultures to make kind of baskets and kind of all types of different ornaments. So that in itself is kind of a first hint back to the Maori culture, but then also the green is meant to represent the different shades of punamu, as they call it, or jade greenstone, which they use for everything. So over in there, I mean, I wear it. My grandparents bought it for me when they were in New Zealand, and it has different shades depending on where you go in the country and where you get the punamu from. Places like Hokitika, where it's a bit darker, it has speckles in it, so there's lots of different shades of green. You have green laces going up it, green hits on the back, and one of my favorite things with this shoe, other than it being brown, cream, and lovely hits of green, which, as we've said, it just looks damn good.
Cheat code.
The insole is very, very special because the insole is there's a fish slash kind of yeah, it kind of it's a seafood called power, which is they produce beautiful shells and they use it for a lot of decorative things over in New Zealand. And the hole inside of the insole is the kind of the pattern of the power shell, which was Louis Brown's father's favorite dish that they used to eat as children. And Earl's in itself, the Earl's collection, the name comes from it was a link through his father and his grandfather, who both unfortunately took their lives from mental illness. So this again is kind of a big link for him back to that. There is a lot going on with this. If you are from or have any links to New Zealand, a lot of this stuff will make a lot of sense. Not to mention, I think it's just a beautiful looking shoe anyway. Normally, this shoe is very mesh boy summer, as we call it. It's very silver. It's normally lots of kind of plasticky materials and kind of, kind of plasticky bits all over it. This time they've really gone to town with kind of cotton, high quality cotton materials, high quality suedes. Yeah, I think it's just a really, really good looking shoe. And not to mention, I think from a design point of view, I think they've smashed it. We see a lot of shoes from brands that kind of link two places. At the moment, size are doing a lot of packs to do with Amsterdam or Malmo, where they're kind of linking it back to different bits of culture and picking colorways to do with it. If you kind of think of New Zealand, you know, a lot of people will think of kind of green for the jade, but also the Maori culture runs through the heart of the country, and you see a lot of this stuff everywhere you go. You walk into a McDonald's and you see kind of woven baskets and hand carving with PowerShell in the eyes and everything. It's great, lovely shoe. Like I say, for me, this has quite a lot of personal connection there as well, with the design elements. And yeah, I just think it's incredibly well done. And again, for an ASICS and a bit of an underrated pair, yeah, I think they've really smashed it.
Well, you can tell that you're interested in it because you've given us the entire history and the back history and the fore history and the after history and everything in between. So you can always tell when you're excited about a shoe because it's not just it's a brown something or other or a green something or other or a cream something or other. It's always the rich history, which I think, to be honest, hearing that makes me a little bit more interested in this shoe. We all do love storytelling. I mean, you sent this through a little while ago in our group chat, and I sort of saw it and went, "Yeah, it's quite nice," but I've said a number of times that I'm not huge into this sort of mesh runner trend that's happening. As soon as you start seeing about the fact that like they've been quite smart in using the mesh to show this sort of weaving of the flax, like as soon as you tell me that the mesh is now a woven material instead of mesh, although it looks similar to the eye, instantly, I now approve of the mesh a little bit more because it's specifically designed to look in this way. And we say time and time again, cream and brown is a cheat code. I love green on shoes as well. The fact that this silhouette hasn't been forced down our throats as much with the GT 2160, I think it's again quite a fresh take on this sort of shoe. I like it. And I mean, based on the Earl's Collection website, I think it's retailing or you can enter the raffle for £134. So, once again, quite a reasonably priced shoe in the grand scheme of things right now. So, I really, really like this. I'm glad you've picked this as the double up. I think this is a cool looking shoe that for me is almost an exception for the rule. Like I said, it's not covered in reflective materials and things like this. And actually, I can look past the mesh because of the fact that it's supposed to have this cultural connection that actually, if it was in any other design, it would look weird. Like you could put this on a shoe that wouldn't normally be heavily covered in mesh, and you would still want that mesh material because it ties into the shoe. It's just nice that they've been able to pick a silhouette that is normally has this aesthetic and turn it into a bit of a cultural spin. So, yeah, I really, really like this shoe.
Yeah, I think they've done a good job. And I think in terms of storytelling, sometimes, you know, storytelling really does help you kind of, it explains what's going on. And like with some of this, you
Yeah,
look at it.
I thought this was average. Honestly, when you first sent it through, I kind of went, "Oh yeah, it's nicer than most mesh shoe." But in my eyes, I was like, "It's another mesh shoe." Actually, now you've spent the time to tell me about it, and I understand the cultural importance of it. Now I'm looking at this going, actually no, this has gone from another mesh shoe in a lineup to actually this is maybe one of my more favorite mesh shoes that I've seen in recent years.
We see so many pairs of shoes coming through. You know, it does, you need something to differentiate sometimes, and it,
You can
like
become a
say,
little bit
for
numb to a design after a little while, can't you? Like just a mesh runner, like eventually you see so many of them that even if there is a slight difference, you sort of go, "Oh, yeah," but it's still you think less of, "Oh, this is different," and think it's more similar. And actually, taking the time to sit and listen, it makes a big difference.
You know, when I first saw many pair, I mean, many of the ASICS pairs, the Jound pairs, I've seen that before as a GR. I've seen that. There is literally a GR that's very similar. I've seen the Naked company. They did a collaboration with them, exactly the same, very similar. These things do happen. And the one thing, I mean, the only other pair that's really been hyped in this model is the Dimes pair, which was mental. It was basically all shiny. There was multiple pairs. It was, you know, so immediately when I saw it, I saw the materials and went, that's interesting. That's a bit different. And then when I saw it, because I wasn't particularly kind of familiar with Earl's collection, and when I kind of read about it and started going through, and I kept seeing images, people posting it up a lot, and I was like, "Ooh, okay." And like I say, in this instance, it has a bit more of meaning to me with my family being out in New Zealand. But yeah, just looking at all the design details and stuff, you know, like, yeah, I'll give this the time. So it has already had a bit of an early release in New Zealand and Australia through Earl's Collection. I entered the raffle, didn't win. It was it's retailing at 133 or £134, depending on which website link you click on. But it is meant to be getting a global release on the 23rd of February. And I assume it will be around the £130 mark. So yeah, exciting on that one. But moving on from a pair that is very nice to a pair that is not, the double down for this week. And the double down is the Avanti Fenty collaboration with Puma. It's in a pony hair colorway. So yeah, the King Avanti shoe is it's a combination of the Easy Rider and the King football boot, which it seems a bit of an odd mix. Originally released kind of September last year, it was properly revived. But in this instance, it's selling for £160. It's releasing on the 22nd if anyone is interested. But the pair that I've picked is kind of the brown and white or brown and cream pair. And it literally is like they've taken cowhide off a cow and slapped it on a shoe. The shoe itself is very Marmite anyway, because I liked the original shoe. I liked the fold down tongue. I'm a sucker. I'm a football guy. I like it. However, this pony hair is awful. This is even like little bit hits, nice and subtle, as you see on some pairs. No. This is the whole shoe. And the only way I can describe it is the Puma, the Avanti. So it is a runner, kind of thick runner outsole. It's almost got, if you want kind of an example, kind of comparison, 327 New Balance, where it's kind of got big kind of plug outsole kind of wrapping up the back of the shoe, runs down. It's got the Puma logo up the side, but it is monochrome in pony hair. So in one, there is one color that is all white, again, very hairy. And then there's another pair that is brown and kind of more of a sail color, very, very hairy. These are something.
Yeah, I'm not mad at the pony hair because actually pony hair, no, not at all. This
This much pony hair.
yeah. What if I compare this to the Air Footscape that was in the sort of giraffe pony hair thing, it ain't that different in regards to a silhouette. Do you know what I mean? Like that whole thing, okay, it wasn't like super hairy, but the whole shoe was covered in that sort of giraffe print, cow print. Like it's basically
That
the
was too
same.
much as well.
No, that was a really nice shoe. I really like the Air Footscape in that sort of cow print pony hair looking shoe. The problem here is that I really dislike the Avanti silhouette. This looks like a football boot had a baby with basically any Puma Porsche shoe that you can possibly think of, and the Puma Porsche shoe is one of the most horrible trainers ever to hit the market. It's just that horrible low profile looking shoe. Like this just I don't understand. I saw a lot of people when they were saying can't wait for the Puma Avanti, really like this shoe. I this just is not for me. I don't understand it. I don't like the look of this shoe. And when a all when for me a bad looking silhouette gets the sort of pony hair treatment, I'm only going to be interested in a pony hair shoe if it's a silhouette that I can sort of, if I like the silhouette enough that I can look past the fact that this is covered in hair, that's okay. But when you've got a silhouette that I don't like with a funky hairy pattern on it, that's like a sort of a double no-no for me. So yeah, I the pony hair itself isn't the problem. We all that every all of us have sort of shoes that we can appreciate pony hair on, but it's normally a silhouette that you like that then gets the pony hair treatment. This is just a big no for me.
Yeah, I mean, one, it's £160, which is a big price tag anyway. But I don't know, the images I've seen so far, the pony hare, it looks quite long as well. Like, it's not like the one that kind of popped to mind when I saw this was like the Wales Bonner that they did recently, which was pony hare, has the fold down tongue, but it looked much cleaner. Like, it looked neater the way they'd done it. I don't like that Wales Bonner either, mind. But yeah, this it it's it's yeah, it just doesn't look great, and it doesn't look particularly high quality either, which is a bit of a shame because yeah, it's a bit rubbish. But either way, we'll move on to the sleeper pick for the week, which a pair that I think will go under the radar, and I could have quite easily put the Asics in that position because I think that one will go under the radar massively. But this is an Air Max one, and we know that Air Max ones at the moment really do just sit. They hit the sales. But I think this is one of the best colorways I've seen on an Air Max 1 on a GR for quite some time. It's the Air Max 1. They're calling it the Lilac Bloom. And I don't need to describe what an Air Max 1 is, but it's got the football grey suede upper. I mean, honestly, these names might mean something to you. They might mean nothing to you because they just give it random names. But yeah, football grey suede upper kind of on the main overlays. The underlays. It looks slightly different mesh to normal, but yeah, kind of again, kind of very light pale color there, contrasted with an obsidian mudguard and then a lovely lilac bloom swoosh. You've also got kind of an obsidian tongue, comes with obsidian laces in there. £134, £135, I should say. Releasing on the 22nd on the Nike app. It's not releasing on sneakers. It's going to back to the bog standard Nike app. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of colorways kind of underneath this on the product page, and this one stands out massively to me. Like, it's just a really well done kind of spring summer shoe. I think, yeah, quality looks as you would expect. Colorway works really nicely. Yeah, I just think it's a really nice Air Max one. Can't go wrong with an Air Max one. And if you do get a good colorway on it, Bob's your uncle, so yeah, for me, I like it.
Yeah, I don't need to go into a huge amount of detail with this one. It's like I said, decent silhouette, Air Max One, and sort of that nice light purple, that sort of like lilac-y, pinky purple color, just sits really, really nice with the grey and the blue. Overall, really, really nice sort of colorway. So, yeah, just it adds to the thousand other Air Max ones that have released recently. But generally speaking, this is a really nice colorway.
Yeah, I would hate to be like an Air Max One collector. My bank account would be done, because they just keep going with it. They really do. But in terms of bank accounts and hopefully not hurting your bank accounts too much, I'm hoping we have a steal of the week.
So yeah, steal of the week this week is on the size website. It is the New Balance 998, made in USA. But this particular shoe is the essentially purple 998. I don't know if anyone remembers the actual style code for the shoe if you want it. I know some people love a style code is U998TE. But Scott, remember when we did our sort of mid-year sleeper pick last year when we did our sort of half year review, and my mid-year sleeper pick was almost the 990 V4 version of this pack, because there was a few, as with most sort of New Balances and these colorways, they always have sort of a few different pairs that come out as part of the pack. But for me, I really, really liked the purple pack that they had sort of mid last year, where it was the 990 V4, the 998, which is this shoe here in particular, and I think there was one other shoe as well in the pack. But the purple's a beautiful purple. It's offset with some sort of greys and creams in there as well. And I mean, for those people that have listened to this podcast long enough, you know that one of my favorite colors on any shoe is purple. This shoe was £210, 50% off down to 105, and it currently is in a size run from 7, 7.5, 8, 8.5, 9, 9.5, 10, 10.5, and 11.5. So Scotty boy, unfortunately they've skipped your size, but I can't imagine you'll be buying this shoe anyways. And yeah, 998, decent silhouette, lovely color. Grab yourself a bargain.
Yeah, literally. I mean, it's a 998, good model, but yeah, it's very purple. So if purple's your color, get on it. But yeah, good size run. And yeah, very good price, £105, bargain.
Half price. There we go. Well, Scotty boy, that brings us into our final segment of today, and that is, of course, the Doubled Up Podcast, Triple Up. Scotty boy, again, I know this is once again probably one of your favourite segments. I'm going to go out on a limb and say one of your favourite segments of the week. I'm only saying that because, as we always know, the old iteration of this segment, you weren't a big fan on. So I feel like I'm going from one extreme to the other. But for anyone that is new to the podcast and has no idea what this segment is all about, every single week, Scott has a go at blind ranking three sneakers that I have prepared in advance for him. Normally there is a theme, and this week's theme, Scotty boy, is Chinese New Year, or the Lunar New Year, seeing as we've recently had the Chinese New Year, the year of the dragon, and seeing as you had just bought a sock in a year of the dragon, I thought it only made sense that we sort of had a little bit of a Chinese New Year theme. So, Scott, I'm going to give you three different shoes. You simply need to rank them from best to worst without knowing what the next shoe is going to be. Now, when we look at Chinese New Year shoes, there are some batshit crazy shoes that have released in sort of recent years. I thought I'd go with some maybe more calmer, more muted shoes. And I also thought that I would go with shoes that have come out in the last sort of few years, something fairly recent. Did come into a bit of a problem with this one though, and it does seem to be that there are some themes in the shoes they pick, because basically every single year they release a Jordan 1 Low, and every single year they release a Dunk, and every single year they seem to release a New Balance 2002R. So I found it quite difficult to come up with a little bit of variety in this segment, but in my head I'd stuck with Chinese New Year, so that's what we're going with. But the shoe that we are starting with, Scott, the first of these shoes, we are going with the New Balance 2002R Lunar New Year, which came out a little bit after the protection pack. Do you remember sort of a little bit after when we had the sort of Chinese, the Lunar New Year, which is basically a slightly darker protection pack?
Oh yeah.
So that's what we're going with first of all.
They have like the dusty lilac-y
Yeah, it's that one, but
year.
obviously it was the Lunar New Year protection pack. So that's what we're going with for number one.
Yeah, slap it on the bottom.
Straight away, protection pack, slap it on the bottom. All right. Well, seeing as we are talking
Rubbish.
about Chinese New Year and the fact that this year is the year of the dragon, it only made sense for me to pick this year's major contribution from Nike, because we are going with the second shoe, the Nike Jordan 1 Low Year of the Dragon.
Gotta go in the middle. I don't rate that shoe much either. The on foot pictures I saw were quite good. They
I
were
really like that
quite
shoe.
good, to be fair. But yeah, it wasn't. I just looked at it, I went, yeah. And I know Damo was there. So they're like, here we go. They've gone from numbered pairs every year to every man and his dog being able to get them when they're in size, and they were still pretty hard to get, mind. They weren't an easy pair. A lot of people missed out, but yeah, it's all right. Yeah, it's all right.
It's all right. Well, I don't know if I'm hoping you're going to be happy with this last one, Scotty boy. I will say I haven't gone for sort of huge amounts of hype with our three shoes this week, so it might feel like this falls flat, unfortunately. But I really, really like this shoe, so I'm glad that it's going to be number one for you, because the number one pair for you, Scott, by default, is the New Balance 920 Year of the Ox. If you remember, the Year of the Ox pair in the 920 was essentially a beautiful red, black, and gold New Balance
Yes,
920.
now we're talking. Oh, 100% the best pair on this list.
Beautiful shoe.
What's funny about this shoe is the fact that it was at one point available to buy on StockX for like £70. Like
Yeah.
it was stupidly cheap. And then all of a sudden, the prices skyrocketed, like absolutely blew up. I wonder what it is now.
I've just checked on mine. I can buy currently this shoe in my size UK 9. I can buy for £308, but the last sold price was 124. But Scott, bearing in mind what you were just saying there, the last sale of £124 saw an increase of £56 since the last sold price, which is an 82% increase. So yeah, apparently right now, if I was to buy it, £308. Before that, the last sold price was £124, but before that, we're looking at about £69.
I mean, in my size, the last sale was £199, which has gone up because all of the other sales are 104, 92, 111, 112, 108. Fair enough. I mean, the highest bid currently in my size is £9. Someone's definitely pushing their luck on that
Imagine if you get this shoe for £9. Jesus
one,
Christ.
but I've seen some people walk away with some not quite 9 quid, but I've seen some people put some proper cheeky bids and it pay off. So, yeah, it's always worth it. Always worth it.
Well, we know a good friend of the podcast, Matt O, bought a pair of these. Obviously, a lot of people that have listened to this podcast for a long time knows that the New Balance 920 is my favorite New Balance silhouette. Always Team 920. And Matt O, after hearing me bang on and on and on and on and on about the 920, I think he first bought the black and orange pair, I do believe, that was a sort of GR when the shoe first sort of came out. And then very shortly after, bought this, and I'm pretty sure he even said he got it for about $80 or something stupid like that. Like he got it for dirt cheap. So yeah, I'm glad that this one has ended up top of your list, Scott, because this is by far my favorite of the three that I've selected. And New Balance had a really good year for the Year of the Ox that year, because they
They
also have,
did.
if you remember, the Year of the Ox 2002R, that was the beautiful sort of black and green and purple colorway.
That's what I thought it was at first. I mean,
Beautiful.
still would have gone top, but yeah, the
Two beautiful shoes of the
beautiful.
Year of the Ox that year. So New Balance definitely did all right. They definitely did all right. But
Yeah.
overall then, Scott, sort of probably what I would expect, as I said, definitely as soon as you see protection pack, unfortunately these days I'm putting it last. I think I would definitely agree. 920 first year of the Dragon second, so I feel like you've done all right there.
Yeah.
But before we close the episode out, do you have a dad joke for us this week?
I do.
Oh, here we
I
go.
do. I do. I do. Why didn't the toilet paper cross the road?
I don't know.
It got stuck in a crack.
Ah, toilet humor.
It's like going back to teaching 5-year-olds. Just do a joke that has poo in it, and all of a sudden, you've got
If
the
you tell
room.
me
It's
a
great.
joke that has poo, wee, or fart involved in it, I'm just probably gonna laugh. I'm not gonna be able
Literally.
to contain myself.
Yeah.
I like that one, Scott. Well done. Well, keep them coming. Keep them coming. I know you've got a whole book there, but keep them coming. And thank you for listening to the Doubled Up Podcast. Remember, if you like this episode, leave us a 5-star rating and review and share the podcast with your friends and family. Make sure you follow at Doubled Up Podcast on Instagram and use hashtag Doubled Up Pod to be featured on the Instagram page. You can find me, Matt, at Matt_Sibley_ on Instagram. Scott, tell the listeners where they can find you.
You can find me at _sneaker teacher.
Speak to you next week, guys. Goodbye, and as always, peace, Manus on.
There's another joke here. I've got to give you another one.
Oh God, I've just done the outro.
Why did the baker have brown hands?
I know where we're going with this one.
Because he needed a poo.
Goodbye, everyone.